your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, hockey fans, happy Monday. You're listening to Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, bringing you all the latest, greatest news all about hockey right here to your favorite podcast app of choice. My name is Sarah Avampato, host of this show, and as always, I am glad to bring you three big stories from across the NHL for your listening pleasure this morning. So on today's show, we're going to start out with Jack Bushman, host of Locked On Blackhawks, as he talks to us all about the decision made by goalie Marc-Andre Fleury to actually return this season, to essentially accept his trade to Chicago and play out the year. So we're going to hear from him about what exactly that means for his team. Next up, Hunter Hody, host of Locked On Penguins, had Brock McGinn on his show. He's newly acquired by the Penguins after spending previous years in Carolina. So Hunter was lucky enough to be able to talk with Brock about coming to the city and his experiences in hockey and everything so far. So we're playing an excerpt from that interview on the show. If you want to hear more from him, and I'll plug this again later, make sure you go to Locked On Penguins, wherever you get your podcasts, to hear the full interview. And then we close things with Jay Forrester of Locked On Blue Jackets as we hear all about the new contract that Zach Werenski got and why sometimes you just gotta pay a guy. So we're going to start out right now with Jack Bushman from Locked On Blackhawks. One of the biggest questions that needed to be answered was, what exactly was Marc-Andre Fleury going to do after Vegas sort of unceremoniously traded him to the Chicago Blackhawks? And we have an answer now. He is going to return this season and play out the season with the Blackhawks, and which is a sign of relief to the Blackhawks, who otherwise might have been wondering what to do in net. So here to update us on everything going on with Chicago, we've got Jack Bushman, host of Locked On Blackhawks, here to let us know what the deal is. So let's start with Marc-Andre Fleury. How excited are you to have a, you know, respected veteran goaltender playing for Chicago? It's something they kind of missed last year, kind of going it with the kids. What does this mean for Chicago, and how does it change what maybe they can accomplish this coming season?
Well, first, Sarah, thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. Always good to catch up and get a chat in, and it's certainly been busy in the Chicago area lately, and Marc-Andre Fleury was a splash that I did not see coming. I know the last month or two, the Blackhawks were rumored to be in the market for a veteran goaltender, and Marc-Andre Fleury was actually one of the guys that they reportedly had interest in. So it wasn't that it was like a surprising move. It was just, I didn't think with this team supposedly being in a rebuild, I didn't think adding, you know, a 37-year-old netminder would be the direction that the organization would want to head in. But after it somehow only got crazier in Chicago. We had the expansion draft, the Seth Jones trade. We'll get into that a little bit later. And then we actually land Marc-Andre Fleury, and it's like, wow, is this Blackhawks team going to be competitive next season? Because we've added a lot of pieces to the puzzle here that we've been missing. A number one defenseman, a true number one netminder who just came off arguably the best year of his career, won the Vezina Trophy. It's definitely a shakeup for the Blackhawks. And it was a little nerve-wracking those couple of days trying to figure out if Fleury was actually going to suit up for us or not. But it's crazy to me that Marc-Andre Fleury is a Chicago Blackhawk. I can't really fathom it almost. It's just not a move I don't think anyone saw this team making this offseason. We knew we were going to go out and get a number one defenseman, but to get a three-time Stanley Cup champion goalie of this caliber, wow. It was a very pleasant surprise, Sarah. And as for how it's going to affect the Blackhawks next season, originally we thought Kevin Lankinen, who was a rookie and put together some pretty good stretches in his first NHL campaign last year. Originally, we thought he was kind of going to be the number one heading into his second year in the NHL. And now we get to kind of ease him into that starter's role in the future. It's not all the pressure and all the weight is on his shoulders to go out there and be the guy. And now we can also learn from one of the best goaltenders in the past decade in Marc-Andre Fleury. And I expect Fleury to come in and be that starter, probably start 60-70% of the games. And that's a huge boost to the Blackhawks, because with how young our defense is, and there's still a lot of guys who don't have much experience back on the back end, Jake McCabe, it's still a pretty young defensive group as a whole. And with young guys coming in and getting that much playing time right away at such a young age, they're going to make mistakes, but that's going to make having Marc-Andre Fleury in net is going to help those guys in their transition period, because, you know, he's a brick wall back there, and he's going to bail out those defensemen when they do make those mistakes. So for the Blackhawks, it's just a huge splash, and it just gives them so much more upside for Marc-Andre Fleury in there.
And I think that, you know, Chicago fans in particular are used to, you know, Corey Crawford, and we're used to seeing what a good goaltender can do to bail out a team that otherwise might struggle a little bit. So, you know, I think, you know, it looks like the Blackhawks, like you said, they have added Seth Jones, they've added some other parts, but it's still a very young team. So, you know, that has to sort of help out with their confidence, right? To have, you know, again, the reigning Vezina winner back there for them.
Absolutely. And not only the on the ice part, but Marc-Andre Fleury is one of the most beloved teammates. No one can say a bad word about the guy. So not only is he going to come in and help them on the ice, but he's going to be a great leader and mentor in the locker room as well. And the Blackhawks, from their 2015 Stanley Cup team, they only have Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane left now, which is pretty insane to think about. So they really don't have as much veteran leadership in the locker room as they used to. So Marc-Andre Fleury, I believe, is going to be a huge boost there as well, Sarah. So I'm really excited about the addition of him on and off the ice for the Blackhawks.
One thing I did want to touch on is Seth Jones, as we mentioned, because the Blackhawks earlier in the offseason traded Duncan Keith, who was basically the only other remaining part from those cup-winning years. He is now Edmonton Oiler and decided to youngen up their defensive core by adding Seth Jones on a pretty monster deal. What was your take on that? How's he going to fit in and change the landscape for the Blackhawks on the blue line?
The contract was a lot. There's no doubt about it. $9.5 million for 8 years, full no movement clause. It's easy to draw comparisons to Brent Seabrook because that's the contract he got when he was right around. He was a little bit older than Seth, but at that point of his career. So it is a little risky. I'm going to say that giving him that term, full no movement clause, along with that dollar amount, still have Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane at 10.5 for the next couple of years. So that's a pretty big cap hit, but that's what it was going to take to make a splash like this. You go and look at all the big name defensemen that have signed contracts recently. They're right in that same area as Seth Jones. Now, he did probably set the market a little bit, but still, that's the dollar amount that it was probably going to take, maybe $500,000 too much. But as I talked about earlier, Sarah, the Blackhawks going into this offseason, looking around, we knew we needed a true number one defenseman. Duncan Keith led the Blackhawks in time on ice in all 16 years he was here. Last year, the year before, 36, 37 years of age, still leading the Blackhawks in time on ice. As a rebuilding team trying to build around a new core, that wasn't exactly the right thing for this group any longer. So that's kind of why we went in the direction we did and traded Duncan Keith to Edmonton. He wanted to be closer to his family as well. So that kind of worked out perfectly for us. And then we bring in Seth Jones, who can come in and fill that role. He's more suited to fill that role and eat 24, 25 minutes a night. Not that Duncan Keith's not a valuable defenseman anymore, but with all the mileage on his tires, it just wasn't the best thing for him any longer, was to be the number one guy. So Seth comes in immediately and gives us more sturdiness on that top pairing. The past couple of seasons, he has struggled a little bit, but I do believe playing in Columbus definitely hasn't helped him at all. They were an absolute dumpster fire last year, and people love to throw his analytics around. I know they weren't great, but going back a couple years, this was a guy who was in the Norris Trophy conversation. He was leading the Columbus Blue Jackets over the top-seeded Tampa Bay Lightning in the first round. He was a huge part of that, and he was a key part in turning things around in Columbus in the locker room as well. So I'm really excited about Seth. I think he has the capability of being a game changer on the back end for the Blackhawks, and we've needed that for some time. And I'm just really excited to see how he's going to fare for us. I really, really think he's going to come in and lead this young group back there. I think that's really what we need him to do, is kind of take these young guys and show them how to be a pro, show them how to get the job done. He's proven, he's a big boy. He's had a lot of experience. He's been the number one defenseman on a good team before, and he can show those guys how to get things done in their own zone and how to be a pro and everything. And the Blackhawks have needed a number one for some time. And Seth Jones, I think, was the top option this offseason for them. And I couldn't be more thrilled that they landed it. It did cost them a pretty penny, but again, that's what it was going to take to get that caliber guy in this market.
Well, I wanted to close with one other player who you mentioned, and that is Jonathan Toews, who, of course, we all know he sat out last season due to some health issues. For people who don't know what is up with him, what is the latest on him, and are you anticipating him back this year?
I sure hope so. At the moment, things are looking good. He's been skating with teammates, hasn't had any hiccups lately. He's been feeling better, but with the thing that he's dealing with, it's a day-to-day thing, and it's going to be that way for probably the foreseeable future, because that's kind of the scary thing of what Jonathan Toews has been dealing with. One day he can feel great, and then the next, you never know what's going to come. So while things are heading in the right direction, yes, we can't officially pencil him back into the Blackhawks lineup just yet, but things are looking good. This past weekend, he was out and about in Chicago. He went and celebrated Alex DeBrincat's wedding. They went out to Lollapalooza on Sunday, and Toews was there having a good time, enjoying himself. So things are definitely looking good, Sarah. But again, it's just kind of a day-by-day basis right now for Jonathan Toews.
Well, he is certainly someone who I know that team has missed and the fans have missed. So best of luck to him and to the Blackhawks coming up this season. And can't wait to see the welcome that Marc-Andre Fleury gets. For people who want to hear more from you and learn about what's going on with the team, where can they find you and your show online?
Yeah, you can find the Locked On Blackhawks podcast anywhere you get your podcasts. You can also check out the Locked On Blackhawks Twitter account at @LO_Blackhawks. And for my personal account, check me out on Twitter at @JackBushman2.
Up next, we've got Hunter Hodes and Brock McGinn. But first, betonline.ag is here for all of your sports betting action. Whether you're into baseball, you're into hockey, you're into football or soccer or whatever it is, you can find all the latest news, odds, and information for all of your sporting needs right there on betonline.ag. So head on over to the website on your laptop or your mobile device. Check it out. You can find out cool stuff like contests and bonuses and much more. So get into the game. Head over to betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's betonline.ag, promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. I also want to tell you about Stat Hero, because you, a person who listens to a daily podcast about sports, you don't just watch sports. You are someone who follows every play and every player. So you can get the daily fantasy sportbook that rewards that passion with winning. That is Stat Hero. It is the first ever daily fantasy sportsbook that puts the player in control and winning within reach. Stat Hero shows you their lineup and drives you and dares you to beat them, so it is you versus Stat Hero in a head-to-head fantasy matchup. You can go to stathero.com/lockedon, sign up for free, and right now you can get 3 times back on your first play. They're giving you a 300% match. That is unheard of. So you can go to stathero.com/lockedon. Again, that's stathero.com/lockedon. Now, let's check out the interview with Hunter Hodes and Brock McGinn, new player joining the Pittsburgh Penguins this season. You can hear that right now on the show.
I've been teasing this for about, I don't know, a week and a half now. We are finally joined by newest Penguin, Brock McGinn. He's the first Penguin player to come on to the Locked On Penguins podcast. It's been something that I've been wanting to do ever since I took this over in September of 2019. I'm glad I can finally do this now. First off, Brock, before we get into all the interesting questions, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. Just got back from dinner at my parents', so I was there with my brother, his wife, my fiance, my grandparents. So it was good family dinner. So enjoying a nice day here out on the lake.
That's awesome. Of course, you know, also welcome to Pittsburgh. You know, I'm sure you've been getting that, a lot recently, you know, just to, start off, I guess, you know, just obviously I'm sure you got plenty of offers from a bunch of other teams. You know, just what about the Penguins stood out during free agency that maybe the average person couldn't see?
Yeah, I think just, like I've said, I think before, it's the Pittsburgh Penguins organization. I think it's held to a certain standard, and everybody around the league knows it's an A-class organization. So when looking at teams, I didn't want to go to a team where I didn't have a chance to win a cup. So I think Pittsburgh has a chance every single year, and I want to do my best to come try and help the city of Pittsburgh win another Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, this is definitely towards the end of their window, excuse me, obviously, because they've won the three Stanley Cups in 09, 16, and 17. But, you know, they're going to be in win now probably until Sid and Gino call it quits. But, yeah, man, I mean, this was always a big signing for the team, especially because, you know, they lost Jared McCann and Brandon Tanev in expansion to Seattle. The team was just, they were worried that they were going to take McCann in expansion. They ended up trading him to Toronto, but then, you know, the Leafs lost him anyway. But just, you know, a couple other ones that I also had, some other, just different questions, I guess. You know, who would you say that you modeled your game after when you were playing hockey growing up?
I think for myself, I think I grew up idolizing my brothers. So I think just having all three of us play and just growing up watching their career, I think I tried to take a little bit of both of their styles to play, and I think mold that into one. So just growing up, I think I watched every single one of their games on the couch with my parents and grandparents. So I got to watch a lot of hockey, and I think I always looked up to them as a player, and just wanted to reach the same goals that they did. So fortunately, all three of us had the chance to play in the NHL and all get to play against each other. So that's something special that we can all say that we worked together to achieve.
Yeah, you know, I always loved watching your brothers as well. And, you know, funny you should bring that up, because one of the listener questions that I had here was, are there any, do you have any favorite funny or embarrassing stories that you can share about your brothers playing hockey or growing up with that?
I don't know about like funny and stuff, but I think just growing up, we always had laughs and stuff out in the backyard. I think there's obviously some funny stories of just playing in the snow and stuff happening out on the ice, but there's not too many funny ones that I can think of right now, but there's definitely a lot of situations where we had a blast, and there's definitely some laughs growing up, that's for sure.
Yeah, you know, I can totally imagine that. You know, speaking of brothers as well, you know, you came from Carolina, where obviously Jordan Staal was there, who every Penguin fan knows around here with what he did in 2009 with the Stanley Cup. I mean, they don't win that cup without him, with how amazing he was. I don't think you will find a Penguins fan here that will say a bad thing about Staal, even though they tried to sign him to an extension. He ended up wanting to go play with his brother, Eric. That happened before Eric was traded to New York. Just, can you talk about, you know, just Jordan Staal as a player and as a leader real quick? Because I definitely think that the fan base deep down misses him, but I'll always have a soft place in my heart for him with what he did in the early years of Sid and Gino, and just watching him now, he's still the same player that I remember.
Yeah, I don't think you'll ever find anybody who will say a bad thing about Jordo. I think he's just a natural leader. He's just a big guy out on the ice, and he plays a complete hockey game. He'll be in the defensive zone and offensive zone. He's just someone you look up to, just even on the ice and off the ice. The way him and his family is, they are just such nice, humble people, where they make you feel so comfortable around them. And I can honestly say that I am glad to say that I can call him a great friend.
Yeah, I mean, he was I go back and watch all these videos of just him and Sid and Gino just, you know, laughing it up on the team in the late 2000s, and then just I'll always watch his goal when he deked around Rafalski in game four of the final against Detroit. I'll always say that it was probably the most important goal of that playoff run, because with the way that game was going, they were about to go down 3-1. But, you know, it always makes me happy to see that he's still kicking butt to this day. And again, man, you're not going to find a Penguins fan say anything bad about him. And, you know, a lot of times with Penguins fans, you know, when players will leave on, you know, some kind of interesting terms, you know, they'll kind of hold grudges. I mean, for the longest time, they had it with Jaromir Jagr. I've never really understood that, just because he's one of the all-time greats in this franchise's history. And when it's all said and done, he's going to have his number retired once he ever stops playing. Who knows when that's going to be. Here's an interesting one for you, you know, that I was thinking about. You know, I think Pens fans, we all know too well about just, you know, hockey player superstitions, but mainly Sidney Crosby's. I mean, I think he's talked about this in numerous articles, videos about how he's just been doing the same thing since he was, I think, in Bantam or Pee Wee. It's just, you know, even if you watch him in the final, he'll point to where a player has to stand when he touches the trophy when they win the Eastern Conference Final, because if they don't do that, they're not going to win it. So do you have any of those superstitions? And if so, how long have you been doing them?
No, I'm definitely not very superstitious, like tying a left skate before a right skate or anything like that. But I eat the same thing before games. I probably try and take the exact same nap every day at the same time. But other than that, when I get to the rink, I think I'm pretty easygoing and just want to go out there and play and not let some superstitions affect that. So.
That sounds a lot like, honestly, you know, Brandon Tanev, who used to be here. He didn't really look like someone who had a lot of superstitions, and then he just go out there and just wreak havoc on literally any of the opposition. So I love that answer. I also got a lot of requests for everyone saying to thank you for scoring that Game 7 goal against Washington. You know, obviously Penguins fans do not like Washington and have not since Alex Ovechkin came into the league. You know, this one comes from the Locked On Penguins Twitter account as well. Obviously, you've played the Penguins so much over your career, and you've been in Carolina for so many years now. Can you give me like one player on the team who was the toughest to play against when you were on Carolina?
I think you got to go to Crosby there. I think he's just so strong and powerful on his skates. He's so hard to get the puck off of. And it's like he's got eyes in the back of his head. He can just make a play out of nothing and you'll just, your jaw drops. It's incredible watching the things that he can do. So every time that we played them, you're obviously having your eyes open for where he's on the ice. But he's a 200-foot player who's so strong and powerful, and he just is an awesome person to look up to and play.
Thank you to Hunter for sharing their conversation. Make sure you go to Locked On Penguins, available wherever you get your podcasts, and go hear the whole episode with Brock McGinn. It's a real fun listen, and he's going to be a fun guy to have on the team. So that is Locked On Penguins, wherever you get your podcasts. We're going to close out the show hearing a little bit about the Columbus Blue Jackets, but first, Built Bar is back, and it is better than ever. If you don't know what a Built Bar is, it is a protein bar that tastes like you're eating a candy bar. It doesn't matter what flavors you're into. If you're into berries, if you're into candy, if you're into chocolate or caramel, you can find a flavor that will suit your needs on BuiltBar.com. My personal favorite flavor is cookies and cream, but if you can't make up your mind, if you haven't tried a Built Bar yet, you can go and buy the variety box, which will give you some of each flavor, so you can make up your own mind about what your favorite Built Bar is. So go check it out right now. Go to Built.com. Use promo code LOCKED15 and you get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. We already knew that the market for defensemen was getting a little bit weird, and the Columbus Blue Jackets have just followed right along with that by giving Zach Werenski a pretty big new contract, which is at least going to guarantee he's a Blue Jacket for the foreseeable future. Plus, they've been up to some other shenanigans. We've got Jay Forster from Locked On Blue Jackets on the show today to tell us all about them. So, Jay, give us the breakdown on Zach Werenski's new deal.
Well, first of all, I like shenanigans. Shenanigans seems like a good way to describe the Blue Jackets offseason so far, because it has been just, I feel like, nonstop. I feel like I complained for like 3 weeks that there was no news, and the Blue Jackets responded by signing 11 billion people. Including Zach Werenski, which honestly shocked me. He signed a 6-year extension worth $9.583 million a year, which is just so much money. Notably, it's just under $100,000 less than what Seth Jones is making in Chicago, which is a whole other thing. But I've been thinking about it, and I've talked to a couple of people, and like, sometimes you gotta pay to have the talent stay, you know. And there was a whole big thing earlier in the off season, in the regular season. Aaron Portsline did an article for The Athletic, where he interviewed a bunch of like anonymous ex-Blue Jackets, and they basically were like, yeah, Jarmo Kekäläinen likes to lowball people with contracts. And I'm wondering if Seth Jones leaving was the final straw in realizing that he can't keep doing that. And so if that means we have to pay Zach Kierenski $9.5 million for the next years, well, I'm okay with that. Like, who else are we going to pay? You know, we have no one else to pay large amounts of money to.
Yeah, and I feel like compared to some of the other defensemen in the league who have gotten similar $9 million annual paycheck kind of things, Werenski at least clearly deserves it. He is still, you know, despite the Blue Jackets' troubles, still a top defenseman in this league. And it does give the Blue Jackets that kind of certainty that this big star, at least, is going to stay for, you know, for a while. Who knows what's going to happen?
Until the Coyotes take his contract in like 2024.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, if you look at the comparables, like Seth Jones is one of them. Dougie Hamilton is another. I would argue that's probably the only contract on this list that is, I think, generally considered to be good. I think Dougie Hamilton is better than Seth Jones and Zach Werenski. He's getting slightly less. Kale Makar is getting slightly less. Darnell Nurse is getting $9 million for some reason, I guess because Ken Holland does what he wants. Who else has just signed a big contract? I don't think there are any other notable big defenseman signings, but you look at like PK Subban is on $9 million. Drew Doughty is making $11 million. You know, I think in the grand scheme of things, I think people are like, wow, that's so much money for Zach Werenski. But in the grand scheme of things, you know, and if he continues to grow like he has been growing, like I'm pretty happy with the contract. It's only 6 years, so he's going to be, I want to say 32 by the time it finishes, which is much better than, you know, some unnamed defenseman who's going to be 35 by the time his $9.5 million contract runs out in Chicago.
But not naming names or anything.
Not naming names, no. So yeah, all things considered, it's pretty good. Yeah, he's 24 now, so he'll be 30 when it runs out. Which is a pretty good, I'm okay with that. You know, we haven't signed him until he's 41, which is the, you know, Duncan Keith, etc. So in the grand scheme of things, I feel like I've said that about 8 times in this answer, but in the grand scheme of things, I'm pretty happy with the Werenski contract, especially because, you know, like we say, it's so hard for players to stay in Columbus. So if we have to pay a little bit more to get players to stay and realize that actually they like being here, then I'm fine with that. I did like, there was a moment in Zach's, in Werenski's interview immediately after where he was like, yeah, I don't know why anyone would want to leave Columbus. You know, the team's been really good to me. I love this city. And like, you can just at Seth Jones next time, you know, you have his number, you could just text him. You don't have to throw shade in a press conference.
And I feel like that's something that like the Blue Jackets need a guy like that to come out and say, yeah, I want to be here. Of course, they traded away the last guy who was like that, of course, sending Cam Atkinson away for reasons.
Listen, I don't need this attack right now, but yeah, it's nice to have Werenski come out and say, I love it in Columbus, I want to stay in Columbus, because I think a lot of people, you know, myself included, were like, oh, he's basically halfway out the door, you know, he's gonna go back to Detroit to play with Dylan Larkin. And I don't know how much of that was based on the whole thing that Toronto does, where they're like, every single Ontario born player is going to want to come back and play for the Leafs, type thing. But it's, it was reassuring to have Zach come out and say, no, why would I want to leave Columbus? It's been really good to me. He likes it here. It's still pretty close to, you know, Detroit, so we can see his parents and stuff. And yeah, it was a surprising amount of emotion from Werenski as well, about, you know, how much he likes how much he likes it here. So it was nice to hear from someone that's not just Cam Atkinson and Jack Roslovic. So I feel like we've lost a lot of pieces, but we have quite a nice little core of players that we're starting to gather that genuinely like in Columbus and want to be here. You know, Oliver Bjorkstrand really loves it in Columbus. We've got Wierenski locked up long term now. I wouldn't be surprised if we try and lock Roslovic up long term next offseason when he's eligible for an extension. So Boone Jenner as well, who I'd completely forgotten about, he seems to really love it here and he's signed up long term. And there, hey, there's four players that like it in Columbus. Yeah. So
and we're still I'll take here. It. We will close with just looking at what do you think is to come for the Blue Jackets? I think that, you know, obviously they've had a ton of turnover. Do you think that they're done? Or do you think that there are trades that are going to happen before the season starts again?
I would not be surprised if there are more trades, but I also think that this could very easily be the roster that we go into next season with. I know there's a lot of talk about Korpisalo, whether we're going to move Korpisalo. The goalie market has kind of been up and down. I was talking about this earlier on my own show, but it honestly, I think for the most part, we are done. I don't think there's going to be any huge splashes. I think now all the matters is kind of going into training camp and seeing, okay, who are we going to play with Wierenski? Who's getting that top line spot? Because we don't really have a clear cut number two defenseman right now. It could be Boqvist. It could be Gavrikov. It could be someone else entirely, you know, similar to the forward situation. I assume that we're basically going to staple Patrick Laine and Jacob Voracek together and stick some guy TM in between them. Because I feel like at this point, you know, if you can get those two going and working well together, you could probably put me in the middle of that winger combo and it would go okay. So we'll see how it goes. I will share a conversation I had last night at my hockey practice. We have a guy on the team from BC. He's a Canucks fan. I know I feel bad for him as well. When I was talking to him, I was like, so, hey, are the Canucks going to ice an NHL team this year? And he was like, oh, I don't know. I think they're going to be better than Columbus, though. And I was like, wow, those are fighting words, my friend. And we will see how that goes. But I think my general opinion is that Columbus is going to be better than Vancouver. But I also think that probably 80% of the teams in the league are going to be better than Vancouver. So that's not necessarily a conclusive answer on whether the Blue Jackets are going to be good or not.
Well, I'm pretty sure we're going to be able to go to betonline.ag and check out the odds on that one. I can't wait to see how that turns out. Thank you for breaking down the Zach Wierenski contract for us and sharing a little bit about a player who wants to be there and wants to be part of what's next for the Blue Jackets. For people who want to follow along with you and your show, where can they find you online?
So you can find the show, Locked on Blue Jackets, wherever you get your podcasts. We're on Apple most of the time. I understand that the situation is mostly fixed there, so you should be able to find us on Apple. You can find me on Spotify. You can find us on Stitcher. You can find us on Google Podcasts. If you have a podcast app of choice, that is where you can find Locked on Blue Jackets. You can find me on Twitter at @LO_BlueJackets. I mostly recently have been sharing a lot of crying gifs about Nick Foligno signing with the Boston Bruins. That has been my internet presence for the last week or so.
That is it for today. Thank you so much for listening to the show, and thank you to all of my guests, to Jack, Jay, and Hunter for sharing their thoughts with the show. In the meantime, you can find this show on Locked On NHL Pods on Twitter. You can find me on Twitter at @RightSaidSarah. And next week on the show, you're going to start hearing a different voice wrangling everything here. Gil Martin, host of Locked On Islanders, is going to be stepping in for a little while as I kind of step back to, you know, do things like sleep and all that. You can still hear me on Wednesdays on this show as well as on my own show at Locked On Kings. But please give Gil a great welcome. We all love Gil and am excited to have him helping run the Monday show here on Locked On NHL. So stay tuned for that next week. And make sure you come back here every day of the week for more great hockey news. And if you haven't subscribed already, make sure you're subscribing or following to the podcast
on your favorite podcast app of choice so you never miss a future episode. That's it for today. Come back tomorrow for more hockey news here on Locked On NHL, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.